This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of my favorite leaders in healthcare, Patrice Weiss. Dr. Patrice Weiss holds a senior role at the Carilion Clinic, a great clinic, a great health system. Patrice, let me ask you to take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we're going to focus a little bit today on leadership development, because it's an area where Carilion Clinic, which is one of the great health systems in the country, has focused and done a magnificent job. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott, and thank you for this opportunity to chat with you today. My name is Patrice Weiss, as you mentioned. I'm currently the Executive Vice President and the Chief Medical Officer of Carilion Clinic, headquartered in Roanoke, Virginia, though we have a service area of, we really take care of a third of Virginia. I'm also a professor with tenure at the Virginia Tech Carilion School of Medicine in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. So my clinical background is OBGYN. Prior to being in this role, I've had numerous leadership roles, many of which were really a result of the leadership development that occurs at Carilion Clinic. But I was the chair of OBGYN. I was the vice chair of OBGYN. I served as the medical director of the Carilion Clinic Breast Care Center, and really also have a background in both undergraduate and graduate medical education, having served as a residency program director both here at Carilion Clinic and at Lehigh Valley Hospital in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So I'm thrilled to be chatting with you today, Scott, amidst somewhat challenging times.
No question. We've really got three questions for you today. The first question is, what are you seeing with coronavirus? Then I'll talk to you about leadership development at Carilion Clinic and some of your thoughts on leadership development. Then we'll talk about what a new normal looks like. So really three questions there. Let me start with, what are you seeing regarding coronavirus in your area currently?
It's interesting. One thing I learned when I moved to Virginia almost 13 years ago is Virginia is really sort of three different states, if you would. We have the ocean and the beach population. We have the northern Virginia, as well as sort of the D.C. Area. And then you have southwest Virginia, which is where Carilion Clinic is headquartered. You know, one of the things that we're seeing is it's very different in southwest Virginia than what we're seeing in the rest of the state. We've not seen the surge. But I will also say that, and I think this goes to our leadership, we were really one of the first who held back and actually stopped doing non-essential procedures and also stopped doing non-essential ambulatory visits. And this was before Governor Northam suggested it and then put the mandate out. So, you know, what we're seeing, I'll give you some Carilion specific data. Thus far, what we're seeing is we have had, is just the Carilion testing that we've done. We've had 141 positive corona tests. We have currently 100 folks who are self-isolating. We have currently 4 patients with known corona who are hospitalized. About the highest we ever had was up to 9 patients. Just a couple days ago, we had 1 patient in the hospital. Of our patient population, we've unfortunately had 3 deaths, though that is less than other areas that one would see, but nonetheless, 3 deaths are still 3 deaths. And we've had approximately 2,700 negative tests. And, you know, I share that with you because as you ask, what are we seeing in our area? And I say, well, gee, we had about 141 positive tests. You know, a question a listener may ask is, well, how are you really testing that? And we're actually one of the highest testing sites in the state of Virginia. So we've been very aggressive with our testing. We've been very aggressive with our non-essential procedures and visits. And I would really say, you know, when I speak about our Roanoke community, and really sort of the whole Roanoke, Blacksburg area community, you know, we've been very good with social distancing. We've been good with masking. We've been good with not having groups of 10 or more gather, and I think that's being it's really much being reflected in what our numbers are. Now, certainly we don't have the population as one would see in a major metropolitan area. We don't have crowded, jammed mass transit, where things could spread. But I think, we're very much early adopters, both as a healthcare system and both as a community. So that's what we're seeing. But, if you were to come to Roanoke, Virginia now, if you were to specifically visit the Carilion Clinic, any of our numerous sites in our multiple hospitals, our patients are masked, our providers are masked. Certainly we have in our Corona unit, it's the full PPE. But we've taken it very seriously. And I think our numbers are reflective of that.
Thank you very much. One of the things, and I've got to know the Carilion Clinic and your leadership over more than a decade, and what I've been impressed with is the retention and the development of leadership teams. It reminds me very much of a couple other great leadership teams in the country that are doing this great job of really developing, mentoring, and supporting and growing and recruiting leaders and then retaining them. And I see it throughout the Carilion system. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that has happened, whether that just has happened or whether there's rules or thoughts that go into that, and why Carilion has been so successful at that, because I view it as so important to success of a system?
Yeah, great question, and thank you so much for that complimentary observation. I think I'm in a unique role to talk about it on a personal level, and then I'll also talk about it, as the chief medical officer of our system. As I mentioned before, I've been here in August, I will have been here 13 years, and I came down as the vice chair of OBGYN at the time that the clinic was really doing its whole transition. They were moving to the clinic model, moving to a, and I'm not particularly fond of this word, but the employed physician model. I'd prefer to refer to those as our faculty or our Carilion Clinic physicians. Also, let's partnering with Virginia Tech to form a new medical school and a research institute. And the thing that impressed me so much when I first got here was really just this sense of a culture of community here. And while those transitions were change is tough for many folks, but just always a sense of what we do for the community. We really do live by our mission statement, which is to improve the health of the communities that we serve. But there's also a community within Carilion Clinic, and that's really reflective of our culture. And it is one, I'm in a prime example of it. I came here as a vice chair, and within a few years I was the chair, and then, I've been now, 5.5 years as the chief medical officer after 6 months of the interim. So there is also a lot of intentional of looking inward to seeing, gosh, what talents do folks have and how can we tap into those? And I think, that's part of our leadership, of recognizing our own, celebrating our own. And it's not just within the physician group or the provider group. We do that within our nursing, our allied health, our support staff. But it really is that culture of community, both in the community and within the clinic. We also are very, though, deliberate about things that we do. We have, in fact, we just transitioned it. So we had leadership that in some ways, leadership development that was being done in pockets. We had physician leadership development. We had nursing leadership development. We had administrative leadership development. And Scott, what we did is over the last, I would say, 18 months, we said, there are intrinsic traits that all leaders need. And let's not separate this into, well, here's physician leadership and here's nursing and here's administrative. Let's pull it all together under the Carilion Clinic Leadership Institute, if you would, or Carilion Clinic Leadership Development. What are those traits that transcend across all leaders? And then what we did is we de-siloed everything. There are those standard traits, the standard development, the courses, the teaching. They're open to everyone. Now, there then may be some uniqueness that has to go with a physician leader or a section chief or a chair or a regional physician leader, just like there would be unique ones. But it that also breeded more of our sense of community, like, hey, we're gonna all be leaders together. There are traits. And the other piece where that really gets reflected is we were into dyad leadership long before it was ever spoken about. So our departments were led by a physician chair and an administrative vice president partner and a dyad. And the administrative person does not report to the chair. The chair does not report to the administrative person. They truly are dyads in leading that department. And they have responsibilities over that department for the clinical operation, the quality operation, the financial operation, the strategic operation of it. So there's not just the development of individuals as leaders, it's across department or across disciplinary development, but then pairing people up, and then they sort of share each other's strengths and can help each other with the weaknesses. We've also taken that down to, you know, we expect our section chiefs will also dyad partner with our senior directors. We want our managers to dyad with our partner leads. So we have a lot of, you know, the sense of community of leadership. So it's been both intentional, but it's also our culture where we're not shy to celebrate each other. And, you know, I think that goes a long way with people being appropriately recognized, because then you also will tend to continue to celebrate others. And we can also then have tough conversations where no one feels threatened or they're being singled out or negative. No, it's like, how can we get better from X, Y, or Z? So I think it's intentional, but it's also it's in our DNA.
No, it's fantastic, and you really built a culture there. And I know that Nancy Agee and leaders before her had a lot to do with building that culture. That's really the supportive, nurturer, can-do, but very positive, community-driven culture. It's really an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so glad you mentioned, you can't have a Carilion Clinic conversation without Nancy, who we all know is just a phenomenal leader, a phenomenal person, and you know, reminds us on a daily basis what it means to be a human being first. And you know, Nancy regularly shares her story. I mean, she is the CEO of our system and started out as a candy striper here. I mean, if you want to talk about leadership succession, I mean, our leadership planning and development. I mean, she's had multiple, I'm sure, opportunities to be other places throughout her career, but chooses to be here, I think, because of the culture and the community. But, you know, candy striper, CEO, that's a phenomenal story.
It really is, and it speaks to the system as well, and the system that you've all developed so well. One last question, Dr. Weiss, and I know we spoke about it for a moment earlier. What does a new normal look like in healthcare as we start to reopen, you know, and continue to face COVID-19 challenges? And no one, I think, believes that COVID-19 is magically going away. But what does a new normal look like?
It's a great question. You know, Scott, I think there's going to be a new normal in healthcare and also a new normal in sort of society and you know, our social lives. You know, it's a very timely question. We're really on the brink of, you know, tomorrow being able to re-engage in non-essential procedures and also beginning to open up all of our ambulatory practices, you know, as best we can, while also reassuring the community this is safe. You don't ever want to think they're coming to a hospital and it's not safe. So I think that, you know, there's a short-term new normal, and there's a lot of sort of logistic things we need to work through. So for example, in the ambulatory setting, you know, the short-term new normal, yes, everyone will be masked, but we've had to redo or are redoing all of our waiting rooms. You know, we want to have social distancing in our waiting rooms. We never want to have more than nine people. I mean, I think eventually that will be the new normal. In the short term, beginning tomorrow and next week, what it will look like is, you know, we're going to ask all of our patients to register online, to have them call when they get to the parking lot, to have us bring them in, go right to a room, you know, don't be sitting in the waiting room, and then have them exit through another door. So minimize as much contact as anyone can. That's a real different new normal in the short term from where we were. Similarly, you know, making sure as we begin to add back non-essential procedures and surgeries, you know, really a detailed history, making sure that there's no potential of any COVID exposure, you know, testing folks, at least initially on, making sure that we aren't doing the rapid testing, making sure we aren't subjecting somebody to the stressors of surgery, nor subjecting our healthcare team to someone who could be an asymptomatic carrier or could have COVID but hasn't developed the signs or symptoms yet. That's short term. You know, I think long term, you know, I reflect back on, you know, when the events of 9/11 happened, you know, you have your short term, but where you get to long term, it's never the same as what it was before. So, you know, we're never going to board airplanes without going through TSA, going through, you know, the 3-1-1 of our liquids. Standards have completely changed. I think both in society and I think in the healthcare profession, and it's not, you know, I don't want to comment, is it good or it's bad? I think it's the reality. I think we're going to be less likely to be doing handshaking. I think there is going to be some just built-in, maybe not the 6 feet, but there's going to be some inherent distancing, I think. I think we're going to be asking a lot more questions of patients, you know, before we're examining them. And quite frankly, they're going to be asking a lot more questions of us. I think where we're going to be in the next several months is not where we're going to be for 3-4 years from now, but I'm not sure we'll ever quite go back to all of us sitting in 100, and I know, Scott, you know I'm a sports junkie, but sitting in 100,000 spectator stadium, all, you know, crowded together, I think that's going to be a while before we get back to anything like that.
No, and I just hope that it happens before the Cubs have a chance to win the World Series game again. Last time it took 106 years. I hope that we'll be back before my Cubs are able to win it all again, back to those sports stadiums. We'll see.
And the Eagles with the Super Bowl. So I'll give you your Cubs if you give me my Eagles.
100%. We now have taken one of those quarterbacks. Nick Foles has come to Chicago to play for the Bears. But I'll move off of the sports talk before I lose the rest of our audience. Dr. Weitz, I appreciate you so much as always joining us. I'm always so impressed with the Carilion system. It's amazing to me to watch the strength and growth of the system over the years, and the humility of the system and how much it cares about the community. It's really one of the most impressive systems I know of in so many ways. So I appreciate you so much joining us today. You do a remarkable job and your system does a remarkable job. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I'll echo back the accolades to you. And, you know, we remain appreciative for the work that you do, Scott, and your entire team, and certainly even more appreciative now with the information that you're all providing, the unbiased information and the updates on a more than daily basis. So thank you and your team for all that you do for healthcare as well. We're all in this together.
No. It's a pleasure. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Weitz. Just a pleasure. Thank you.